This is Tony Broom Ministries, welcoming you for the old time preaching from God's Word. Here's a message entitled, Receive the Holy Ghost.
Acts chapter 8, I'll make it there sooner or later. What a wonderful day to serve God.
Amen.
To be alive to worship the Lord. We got it made either way. There's no problem. Here in this place, God bless you for coming to the house of the Lord today. Those of you who are watching online, why don't you consider coming out and being our royal guest in the house of God. We don't handle snakes. Nothing here going to bite you. Let the Holy Ghost bug bite you, and I hope he shakes the daylights out of you. We're talking about the Holy Ghost today. Receive the Holy Ghost. When you receive the Holy Ghost, it's a decision. Decision of salvation. Jesus is telling parables. And he told the people in Matthew chapter 21, verse 44, whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. The idea is fall on the rock so the rock won't have to fall on you. Fall on him so he won't have to fall on you. If you fall on him, you might get bruised up. You might get broken. If you fall on this stone, you will be broken. But if you have to wait and let the stone fall on you, it will grind you to powder. Some people are waiting to let the stone fall on them. What you need to do today is to fall on the stone. Go ahead and move so he can move and fall on the stone so the stone won't have to fall on you. You need to lean on him before he has to lean on you. If he leans on you, it's not going to be a pretty picture. Go ahead and lean on him while you have the opportunity to be saved. Israel had a big decision to make, and so does every individual. Israel decided not to receive Messiah, Yeshua, and they rejected him. They crucified him and put him on a cross. Many people today have made the same decision, not to receive Christ as Savior, because it might infringe on what they want to do. It might cramp their lifestyle.
Yeah.
But if you come to him, he will give you freedom like you've never known.
Amen.
You just think it's going to be hard. The way of a transgressor is hard. When you come to Christ, yes, you're going to have some hardships in life. Doesn't matter whether you serve God or not. You're a whole lot better off to serve God.
Amen.
And let come what may in your life, because Jesus is driving your boat. He's at the head of your aircraft. He's taking the Gus on the bus. He's there. He's watching over you and protecting you. And no matter what happens, he's in charge of your life. Every individual has a decision to make. You must be saved in order to receive the Holy Ghost. Jesus said the world does not know him. They cannot receive him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. It's a decision of salvation. You have to be saved to have the Holy Spirit. Every born-again person has the Holy Spirit, even though we as Pentecostals talk about getting the Holy Ghost and having the Holy Ghost. Actually, doctrinally, every born-again person has the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to the Apostle Paul, Paul said, he that has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So you have to have the Spirit of God to belong to Christ. When you're born again, the Spirit of God enters your life. But it's not the same thing as the baptism in the Holy Ghost. You have to decide to follow Jesus. You have to decide to be a Christian, decide to be saved in order to receive the Holy Ghost. Then there's a delay for sanctification. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. That's what Jesus told the disciples in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. He commands the disciples to wait for the promise of the Father. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And so there's a waiting involved in receiving the Holy Spirit. You have to wait for the promise of the Father. He told the disciples to wait. He told them in Jerusalem to wait. And so if they have to wait, there's a waiting period. Sometimes it's not very long, but sometimes it's longer than what it should be or could be. It's longer than what we like for it to be. Most of the time when we're waiting on something, we don't want to wait very long. It's called impatient. We don't like to wait very long. But Jesus said to tarry, to wait. There's a time that you wait. There's a time where sanctification has to take place. And the fear is, we've heard it here at our church, different people have come and they have spoken. And the fear is that we have adopted and are adopting, some people, this modern day version that says you can be saved and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but there's something that's missing. There's something that needs to take place in the heart of a person called sanctification. That is, the power of sin has to be broken in your life. You are saved. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. But you still have that old nature that has to be tamed and has to be done away with. Your new nature has to be allowed to operate in its fullness. It's called sanctification. You can call it crisis. You can call it work of grace. You can call it, there's no other way. I've got to have something done right now. I don't know what you call it. But when you get to that place and the power of sin is broken over your life, the old man, as it were, falls into the grave dead, and you're resurrected in newness of life to serve God, a sanctified life. He tells the disciples to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. And then it happened, all together in one accord in the upper room. A sound comes from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. It fills all the house where they were sitting. We need a move. This is the move that you're talking about. They saw cloven tongues like fire which sat upon each of them. It comes and it fills all the house, but it has an individuality quality to it. He comes and he fills each one. He fills us all, but he fills us individually. I'm glad that I don't have to have just a little piece of the pie. I'm glad that I can have my whole pie. You can have your whole pie. It's called an individual, personal, Pentecostal experience. They saw cloven tongues like fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. That's what happens when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what happens when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. He comes and he fills you and he thrills you and he builds you up and he edifies you. He causes you to speak in a language that you didn't learn in high school. He causes you to talk in tongues. He causes you to prophesy. He causes you to have power to live the Christian life. Lord, have mercy. You don't believe I believe in preaching this morning, do you? Because we're talking about the Holy Ghost. We're talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. We're talking about the one who can do you like nobody else can do you. We're talking about the one who can make a difference in your life. We're talking about the one who can change your life. We talk about the one who came as a third person of the Godhead. God in the third person is in this world right now, but he didn't come for the world. He came for the Christians, the believers who are in the world. But those, anybody in the world can come out of the world. That is, they can come to Christ. Anybody in the world can come to Christ and be saved and be sanctified and be baptized in the Holy Ghost. He fills that place in Jerusalem. It's like God couldn't wait any longer. And he fills the house where they were. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then there's a different manifestation. It's a decision that you make for salvation. It's a delay that you have for sanctification. And you can't quit just because it doesn't happen right away. You got to keep on going until it happens. He told the disciples, don't you go anywhere, don't you do anything until you're endued with power from on high. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until he comes. We don't know exactly when he's coming, but Jesus said he's coming. He said you'll be baptized in the Holy Ghost not many days from now. He's coming, and I believe he's coming. I don't know when he's coming, but I'm going to stay here until he comes. Amen. Those disciples were so committed to Christ that had he not come, they would have stayed there until he died or until he came. Yes. That was their commitment. And some people have asked God, baptize me in the Holy Ghost, fill me with the Holy Spirit, whatever language you want to use, terminology. And it hasn't happened. And they have quit. They have stopped asking. They've even come up with assumptions and say, well, I guess he must not want me to have it. No, the Bible said he wants you to have it.
Yes.
God's word is true whether it happens right away or not. God's word is true whether this world believes it and receives it or not. There is a decision for salvation. There is a delay for sanctification. And there are different manifestations for the same spirit baptism experience. It's the same experience, but there are different manifestations. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. They were excited because the gospel finally had reached Samaria. Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. It had to go out to Samaria. And now it has come. Philip has gone down. He's preached Christ unto them. He didn't preach church membership. He didn't preach money programs. He didn't preach entertainment. He didn't preach contests. He didn't preach any of that. He preached Christ unto them. We need to get a hold of that again. You got to preach Christ. It's not because you got a good program. It's not because you got a good music program. We got the best, why settle for the rest? I know that, but thank God for what we have. What we have is nothing. It's Jesus Christ has given us everything we have.
Amen.
Just folks like you and I can get up here and somehow or another, all these Callies and all these Megans and all these people can get up and start singing, and the Holy Ghost takes over. That's what the deal is. It's the Holy Spirit of God. So these people in Samaria, they were excited about hearing about Christ. They began to be saved, and they were waiting on God, and they were baptized in water. And it says when the apostles that were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. They came down and they prayed for them to receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had been baptized and didn't say the word, but they were sanctified. They were ripe. They were ripe and they were ripe candidates to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you're saved, if you're sanctified, you are ready. You're a ripe candidate to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's no reason why you do not persevere on until he fills you with the Holy Ghost. Don't let a time period, don't let the devil, don't let anything dissuade you. Don't let it discourage you, keep you away. Don't say I'm not good enough. None of us are good enough. He makes us good enough. They came, and it said they laid their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost. How did you know, how did they know, how do we know that they received the Holy Ghost? There had to be a manifestation, the same thing that happened in the beginning. It doesn't say in Acts chapter 8 that they spoke in tongues, but they did, because that is the way they knew that they received the Holy Ghost. It wasn't because they said, woo! It wasn't because they had goosebumps. It was because the same initial experience happened that happened on the day of Pentecost. That's the same thing that happens today. The initial experience is the same. We've had ministers to come to the International Pentecostal Holiness Church, and they were not able to be licensed because they liked Pentecostal worship. They liked all this stuff, but they wouldn't come clean and admit that you had to have that experience with God. You had to have the initial experience is speaking in tongues. It's not the only evidence, but it's the initial evidence. This is the way that you know. This is the way that they knew they had received the Holy Ghost. The same thing happened in Cornelius' household in Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. In Acts chapter 8 in Samaria, he falls on them. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius' household, he falls on them. Some people don't believe he needs to fall anymore, but he needs to fall on some people. He needs to fall on our churches, fall on our generation, fall on our children, fall on our grandchildren, fall on this world so they'll come to Christ and be saved. The Holy Ghost needs to fall. He's waiting on us to move, and he's waiting on God's people to move. He fell on all them who heard the word. Acts chapter 19, verse 6, when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. In this situation, it doesn't say that he falls on them, but he came on them. So he doesn't have to fall the same way all the time. He doesn't have to do the same thing all the time. As long as he does what he wants to do, that does is all that matters. Long as he does what he wants to do, that's what's important. He doesn't have to do the same thing all the time. Some people worship like he has to do the same thing all the time. If they don't speak in tongues, if they don't give a message, if they don't do something. No, God don't want they. He wants you and me sometimes. He wants different folks sometimes. God never meant for it to be the guy hour, the one man show. He never meant for it to be that way. Jesus didn't even come to the world for it to be that way. He never came to be the guy. He came to be Savior and he came to be Lord, but he never came to be the guy. Jesus invites and even commands the disciples as he breathes on them to receive ye the Holy Ghost. John chapter 20, verse 22. And he breathes on them. And you don't need no preacher with bad breath to blow on you. But I want to tell you, just as sure as Jesus Christ breathed on those disciples in John chapter 20, verse 22, he breathes on you today. The breath of God, he breathes on you. No, it's not just the coolness of the air conditioning. I know that that's very pertinent. But it's not just that. It's his breath that is breathing on you. And he commands us to receive ye the Holy Ghost. It's not just for the original disciples. The scripture said the promise is unto you and to your children and to all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts chapter 2, verse 39. The experience is for you today. The experience is for your children. The experience is for your grandchildren. The experience is for all those who the Lord will call. Well, who will he call? He'll call everybody. He'll call red and yellow, black and white, all who are precious in his sight. He'll call Jew and Gentile alike. He calls us all. Many are called, but few are chosen. And you can be chosen today. All you have to do is move when he moves. Respond like he wants you to respond. Come as the sidewalk prophets sing, come to the table. He wants you to come to the table. There's a table that's spread where the hungry can come and dine. And he wants us just to come to the table. He didn't say when you get here, you got to take your credit card out. You got to take that 50 spot out. You got to pay for your meal. You got to foot the bill. He didn't say anything like that. If I read my Bible correctly, it says that the price has already been paid. He's already paid the price. But you're talking about a free meal. Everybody likes a free meal. All you got to do is just jack up to the table, get your wife's tea, mercy me, and sit right down and feast at the table with the King. Come before his throne. Take me to the throne and leave me there alone. Bring me to the King. Let me go to the presence of the King. Some people think they need a pastor. What they really want is a king. But you don't need no king to tell you everything to do, tell you every time to blow your nose and tell you when you're supposed to do this and when you do that. Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord. He'll tell you how to live. He'll tell you when to speak, when to keep your mouth shut. The Holy Ghost, He sends the Holy Ghost. God, the Holy Ghost is in you right now. You're the temple of the living God. He lives and He walks and He abides in you. The promise is for you individually. The promise is for your children. The promise is for those who are afar off, not just in Jerusalem, not just here where we are. Those who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God will call. Receive the Holy Ghost.
Thank you for listening to the Old Time Preaching from God's Word. The message has been entitled, Receive the Holy Ghost. Jesus wants to be your Savior, Lord. He wants you to have the Holy Ghost in His fullness, in His power. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.